This morning.
What was that?
All right, it's good to be here this morning. We are in Rome. We'll be in Romans chapter 13 this morning. Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, I begin reading in verse 1. And we'll just read verse 1 by way of introduction this morning. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love to us. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you to live in a free nation, and we're so thankful for that, God. We're thankful we gather here this morning. I ask for the filling of your Spirit for my dear wife and I as we minister the Word, myself preaching in her in sign language the message, and Father, just help and fill us, dear God, and use us, we pray, and thank you for the word that's gone forth in the Sunday school hour, the children's class, the adult Sunday school Bible study, and Lord, for the praises that we could sing to your name. You are worthy, and Father, we pray that our worship from our heart would be pleasing unto you, that it would be a pleasant aroma. Father, we need your help as always, and at best we are a needy people. And so, God, I pray that you'd help us in our Christian lives to walk with you. We pray for help in our nation, dear God, for a turning back to you, that believers would have revival in their lives. Father, that more lost people might be saved, that they too may be able to see the fruits of the Spirit in their lives. And Father, it's what our country desperately needs. Help our leaders and give them wisdom in doing and making the decisions they need to make. And Father, use the message this morning for your glory, and help us just to be careful to thank you and praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Before the message this morning, I just want to address a question that was we received regarding the message last week, Sunday morning. It's a question about a list of sins we're going through, and one of them was, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. And we received a question regarding the clarification of that. What does that mean, speaking evil of the ruler of thy people? Well, obviously, rulers can do wrong and make mistakes, and they do that, just like you and I do. And it doesn't mean when rulers make mistakes or when they do wrong, don't talk about it. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean we can't ever say negative things when they're true. It doesn't mean that. It deals with the idea more of attitude. What we say, yes, but how we say it has the idea of maybe what we might say name-calling. I think of the Apostle Paul in Acts 23:1 and following. He was brought before the rulers, and they were unjustly condemning him. Paul had said in Acts 23:1 that he lived in all good conscience before God. And the Bible says in Acts 23:2, and the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall. For sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, Revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. Maybe Paul is saying he would have phrased that a little differently with Ananias, had he known. Even our Lord, when he is referred to them as whited sepulchres, he says, You are as whited sepulchres. Here's an illustration of you. And by the way, he was speaking the truth to them with exactly the right attitude that he needed. But we need to be careful about how we speak. It could be the idea of, name calling, or speaking with the idea to tear down. We don't need to be doing that of our rulers. Speaking evil means to curse. It's spoken with venom. It lacks the honor and respect due the office of the authority. And that is how we are not supposed to speak about our leaders. And obviously, there's much going wrong in our nation about that today. That command is broken many times. That would fit along with Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearer. That which we speak, is it spoken to build up or to tear down? That's how we discern that. If it's just to tear down, then that probably shouldn't be said. But if it can help build up, either you're pointing out a mistake or an error or something someone should have done, and it's done in love and help build them up, then yeah. So it speaks of that. And so we need to be careful about that. When we're speaking, especially of our rulers, there's a lot on the media, a lot that we hear from friends. And we ought not to assume that the things that we hear are fact. Because those on the R side and those on the D side, you know what I'm talking about. There are times when they both pull things out of context to make it fit their story, okay? And so when you hear somebody say, so-and-so said this ruler said this, quote, you better go look up what that ruler said and in the context that ruler said it, amen? Otherwise, you may be speaking evil of that ruler and quoting it as a fact because so-and-so said it. Listen, so people saying things doesn't make them fact, okay? Matter of fact, many times facts are twisted and they become, without flowering up the word a little bit, lies, right? That's what happens when facts become twisted. And so we want to be careful about that. God wants us to honor our rulers. Yes, we can speak of their mistakes they make and maybe our opinion of what should be done and such. That's fine when it's done with respect. But I tell you, one of the problems that we have today, we're going to address these things in the message today, is a lack for respect of authority. And it begins with God. It begins with God. And we'll walk down through some things today, I pray, that will help us in the times that we're facing, this killing of George Floyd this past week. And I saw the thing on video. Probably most of us have seen it. I don't know of anybody who has justified that. The way, the officer's knee was on the man's neck until he died. And the officer, by the way, had his hands in his pockets the whole time. That means to me, there's no tendency. When you're shifting around, whether you're going to get up or down, you're going to have your hands out of your pockets. Didn't seem like there was any intent of moving. Nobody justified that. As far as I know, that was condemned by everyone. By the way, If that doesn't bother your conscience watching that, and you think that was justified, this message may not help you much. I don't know if we can get through to you. And sometimes officers are sheltered from losing their job and facing the consequences of the law because of unions that they're in. That ought not to be. Amen? I need to change. That's wrong. But folks, it's also wrong for me to go and destroy my neighbor's business because that police officer did that. Isn't it? That's just as wrong, isn't it? It's also wrong that three black officers have died during these riots because that one officer did that. And by the way, there were, I think, two or three other officers standing around who in my mind are just as guilty watching it happen. But that doesn't mean that those three who died in these riots trying to keep the peace, which is what the authority is supposed to do, that wasn't right either. And so what do we do as Christians in this time? We're going to look at the Bible and see, what does God have for us in this? Where do we stand? What do we do? What can we learn from this that will give us some peace going through these times? So I don't have an outline this morning. I have an outline. It's at home. But that's okay. We want to learn some things. And, of course, Romans chapter 13 and following is one of those classic passages on government and their purpose and how we're supposed to honor these things. So I think if we learn these things, especially as Christians, we're going to find some peace in our heart. And we're going to know how we need to respond. By the way, that's the most important thing. You and I are the only ones who are as believers. When I say you and I, say Christians, those born again, we're the only ones that have the power by the Holy Spirit to continually respond in a right way, and in a godly way. We can't expect lost people to be able to do that. But let's learn some things. First of all, number one, we learn from Romans chapter 13. Number one, the establishment of the Lord in His providence. What God has put together by His power and put in place by His power. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. Did you get that? Every power on this earth, by the way, beyond this earth even, in the spiritual realm, God has either appointed that power. Let's put it this way. He has allowed that power to be. Has He put them in place, or has He allowed them? He has allowed them to be in place. On God's desk, God said, I approve this power to be in place right now. So it's put there by God. The Republican President Donald Trump is God's minister. The Democratic president for the last 8 years, Barack Obama, was God's minister. And it doesn't matter who's there. By the way, Nero was God's minister. The king of Babylon was God's minister. Because God ultimately decides who governs. And He uses them for His purpose. By the way, that doesn't mean that governments never do bad things, does it? Christians are ministers of God. Do we ever do bad things? Well, I guess we do, huh? Governments are the same way. That word, ordained of God, has the idea appointed, determined, placed in a certain order, assigned. Every government on the earth is in some way assigned there by God. That's what the Bible teaches. By the way, these teachings probably will not be understood or accepted by the bulk of those who are not Christian, who don't want God to be the ruler of their lives. Because I'm here to teach Bible truth for people who want to follow God and love Him. And if you don't know God yet as your Savior, I pray you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and be born again. Amen? And then he'll help you follow him as well. And by the way, you'll have that peace then. We'll have peace inside. But placing in an order. See, God decides who will rule. Daniel was praising God for some wisdom that he had given him. He'd asked him a question, and God gave him the wisdom to answer. And in Daniel chapter 2, in verse 20, he's praising God for that. He said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changeth the times and the seasons." Here it is. "He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." Who sets the rulers up? God does. Who removes them? God does. God does that. See, he's working out his plan for the world. He has the final say regarding who rules in governments, and he uses them for his purposes. In 1 Samuel 9:17, God actually picked Saul. When Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said unto him, "Behold, the man whom I spoke to thee of, this same shall reign over my people." My people, him, Saul. He's the one. God picked him. No doubt about that. David. God picked him. God told the prophet Samuel, 1 Samuel 16:1. He said, "I will send thee Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons." Samuel went to go find out which son that was. And in 1 Samuel 16:12, Jesse brings David to Samuel. He sent him in, brought him in. 1 Samuel 16:12. And the Bible says at the end of the verse, "And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he." God picked David. By the way, God picked Jeroboam. Jeroboam was a wicked king of Israel. God picked him. When Solomon disobeyed God, God promised that he was going to judge the kingdom for that. They started great, wonderful, worshiping God. Great temple built. But before the end of Solomon's reign, he had built temples and worship places for multiple false gods. And God said to Solomon, "Because you've done that, I'm taking most of the kingdom away from you." And he said to Jeroboam, "I'm going to give it to you. And if you follow me, what? I'll bless you. I'll bless your kingdom." Jeroboam didn't follow God. Did God know he was going to do that? Yes, he did. God knew he was going to make those calves and set up those false altars. God knew that when he picked him. But God still picked him, didn't he? And he was using that, he used an evil governor to judge and to discipline a king who had disobeyed him. Is God allowed to do that? Yes, he is. So we have to realize that God is ruling. All powers are from him. The powers that be are ordained of God. We see today that God allows us here. We vote for our rulers. And even in the kingdom of Israel and such, and Judah in your Bible as you read along, they eventually began just making like their neck their oldest son the king after them. We're not told many times that God had actually picked that one. It's what they did. There's, you know, it's just to be the line of David, and they picked the eldest one, and that's what they did. And God used that. God blessed the godly and dealt with the ungodly among them. and we vote in. You know, well, God said to Israel in Hosea 8:4, they have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and their gold have they made idols, that they may be cut off. What's God saying there? Did he not know it? Well, God knows everything. Was he not in control? When he said they set up kings, but not by me. No, what he's saying is they didn't seek me. They made who they wanted to be king, king. Did that rip the control out of God's hands? Absolutely not. By the way, he could have stopped that. He didn't. He allowed that. That's the way God still works today, folks. He sets up kings, he brings them down, and they're his ministers in the sense of civil authorities. And we need to recognize that. They can be, wicked governments can be placed in control to accomplish God's purposes. Daniel said, he said this. He learned some spiritual truths, and he says he learned this to the intent. He'd revealed some spiritual truths about to Nebuchadnezzar about how God rules and reigns. And he says, you learn these things that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. Nebuchadnezzar was a base king. He was not a godly man, okay? Now, I know the Bible records about his believing in the Lord, but it's not real clear whether he became a true believer or he just added the Lord to his God list. That seems more likely. He was a base man. God put him there. And he used Babylon, what, to judge Israel at that time, because that's what God was doing. You see that? He was in control. He was in control. People, we need to realize, as a fallen people, and we all have a sinful nature, we need authority. We need a government to be in control. And by the way, God knew that. God knew that. He's the one that instituted human government. After the flood, he told Noah, whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. That's the institution of human government right there. And so God ordained that. God, folks, is in control. Now that ought to comfort your heart and mind, amen? Because we know our Father's good. Is God in control when there's a bad government? Yep. Is he in control when there's a good government? Yep. Who has the final say? God does. We can trust in our God. It's not out of his control. At the equator, our earth turns on its axis about 1,000 miles per hour. Our Earth is orbiting around the sun at a speed of 1,110 miles per hour. Our galaxy is moving through space at a speed of 20,580 miles per hour. And according to the false claims of science and evolution, at least of what the science falsely so-called evolution, if they're right, there's no one at the helm. There's no one in the cockpit. There's no one behind the wheel. We're steering. There's no one steering this thing as we're flying through space at this amazing, almost incomprehensible amount of speed. There's nothing or no one or anything in control but simple chance. Folks, if that's true, we have a lot more to worry about than what's happening right now around us. Amen. But I want to tell you this. God is in control. And He's got it, folks. He's got it. He's got it handled. We just need to trust Him, amen? And do what we can do through this. God has governments in control. Secondly, we see the enforcement of laws by the powers. What are the things that government's supposed to do? We see the enforcement of laws by the powers. Romans 13, 4. For he, in the context of the government, is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the, what? Sword in vain. Here it is again, God's word. For he, the government in the context, is the minister of God. A revenger to execute, what's the word? Wrath upon him that doeth evil. Verse 6. The government, end of the verse. They are God's ministers attending continually upon this very thing. What are some purposes of government? Government is to be a keeper of the peace and to be a punisher of violence and dishonesty. And they are to do all these things in an equitable and just manner. We'll see that in these verses that we'll look in the Word of God. 1 Timothy 2:2. For kings and for we are to pray for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all what? Godliness and honesty. So kings in authority are to be sure that we are able to live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. So they're to keep the peace. And by the way, they are to keep businesses. And you and I, they're to have laws that help us associate and do our work, what? Honestly. Honesty. Listen to the way Peter puts it. Speaking of government, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him, what's it say? For the punishment of evildoers. And for the praise of them that do well. Our government is supposed to punish evil. That's what the Bible says. That's where you give a punishment that is sufficient enough to deter the evil. Well, we're going to have laws against speeding because speeding can kill people. A lot of cars out there, highways and such. We're going to have laws. Speeding. And by the way, you get caught speeding, you're going to get fined $5. So you better be sure you're obeying the law. How's that going to work? It's not going to work, is it? People shouldn't kill one another. We can't have that. In the streets,
You kill one another, we're going to fine you $20,000 if you kill somebody. Now take that. Hey, we'd see people murdered in our streets today if that became law. There's people that have the money to do it, and they'd like to get rid of, some folks. Some would do it just to get the inheritance of the person they killed, you know. You see, the penalty has to deter the crime. And frankly, some governments are failing in that today. Today, in some places, a man can commit a crime against a citizen, be put to jail for it, and live a better and more easy life in jail than the person out there working whom they committed the crime against. That's not equity, folks. That's not justice. Government is not there to make us money or to give us money. Government is there to see that we can all trade equitably and honestly and pass laws that allow us to do our business in a safe and honest and fair way with those that we deal with. They're not to step in and make the businesses for us. We don't find that in the Bible. By the way, again, much of what I say won't be accepted by people who are in love with the world. These are spiritual truths from God. It's punishment. Well, I don't like that word punishment. I don't think that's necessary. Well, you know, it wouldn't have been if mankind hadn't fallen in the Garden of Eden. But ever since then, you and I have a sinful nature that frankly needs to be punished sometimes. And sometimes that's the only way to deter it from that. But it needs to be done with justice and equity, which is why I'm saying we need laws to convict criminals, even in our government. If officers are committing criminals, they should be getting the same punishments that people on the street that commit those same crimes. Amen? By the way, if politicians are committing criminals, they should be getting the same punishment that the people on the streets would get for committing those crimes. Amen?
Amen.
And we wonder why we're having problems in our country. I pray for Donald Trump. I prayed for Barack Obama. I pray for our leaders when they're in office. I don't know if Donald Trump is saved. I've heard some say, but Dennis said some have said he's made a testimony. I don't know. I hope he is. But we need to understand that holding the Bible up in the air or saying God bless America doesn't make you saved. We need to know that. And it doesn't deter God from what he's trying to do. Well, they said God bless America, so I was going to judge them for all that sin they were doing, but they're singing that song again, so I'm going to have to... It doesn't work that way, folks. I was telling my wife, God bless America. What is that? Is that an imperative from us to God? We telling God what to do? No. See, we need to be begging for God to bless America. Amen. We need to be begging for grace and mercies from God, by the way, because he does give that many times. He gives us relief and some peace in our governments that we don't deserve, even though we've forsaken him in many ways. He does give us that sometimes, and we ought to be praying for it, amen? If he would, if that could glorify his name. We need to be careful about that. He's a just God. David said about rulers, the rock of Israel spake to me, he that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. It's justice what? For all, we say. Not one justice for this group of people, another justice for this group of people. It doesn't work that way. Pray for legislation, right, that will be more godly, is what we need to do. Pray for God's mercies for the things we've gotten wrong and the thing and turning our backs. Pray for revival in our land that we'll turn back to him.
enforcement of the laws by the power. They need to be enforced. That killing was wrong. That burning and looting was wrong. The governments that sat back and watched the killing was wrong. The government that sat back and allowed the looting and the burning was wrong. Because government is supposed to step in and by authority and power stop the evil. That's one of their prime purposes, that we might live peacefully. When they stop doing that, we're seeing the sufferings that we see on both sides. And we need to get back to that, back to the book, back to the Bible. And here's our part, thirdly and finally. The people, what do? We need to see the engagement of love among the people. Look at verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues. What do we do as believers? The government, all their dues. Tribute to him, tribute. Custom to him, custom. Fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. What's that mean? Pay your taxes. Don't cheat on them. Don't work under the table. This is commands for believers, folks. Owe no man anything but what? To love one another. There's a command. Love one another. By the way, there's the hope for our country, amen. It's knowing the Lord. Listen, the hope for our country is not whether there's a D in the presidential office or an R in the presidential office. The hope for the country is there a C in our heart? Is Christ in our heart? That's the hope for our country, for all of us as believers. Oh, no man, anything. Love one another. How do I do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Paul defined it. He says, for this, verse 9, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Wow. Could you imagine if that was the case in most of America? Red, yellow, black, or white? Could you imagine if that was the case in most America? Do you think we'd have seen what some of the atrocities that we've seen on both sides of the issue in these past weeks? Probably not. Or at least we'd see a lot less of them, amen? Love your neighbor as yourself. But folks, we know and understand that a person without Jesus Christ cannot do that. That's why we're part of a church, amen? We're getting out the gospel message. We're showing that there's one died, who can help us and who can save us from our sins. By the way, his name's Jesus Christ. What does the Bible say? You know, people would think, well, okay, preacher, set this Christian stuff aside and for a little bit. Isn't there something that we can do to bring the D and the R together? Something in the middle that'll just help them work smoothly and work more peacefully together? Not a thing guaranteed for that. Not a promise in the Word of God that would work. If you're trying to say apart from Christ, apart from Christianity, nothing to count on. See, why is that? Because Christ is the Prince of Peace. Peace comes from Him, folks. And when we turn our back on Him, there's going to be trouble. There's going to be trials. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, Isaiah 9:6. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is all those things. He's the Prince of Peace. What did he say? In John 14, Brother Dennis mentioned it this morning. John 14:7, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. We have many in that camp today, don't we? And God says, if you know me, you don't need to be in that camp. Why? Because I am in absolute control, God says, and I will give you peace. I will keep you in the midst, you know, of your storm. I'll give you that peace. What do? We love our neighbor as God strengthens us, enables us. We follow Christ in that. He says in Romans 13:5, we need to be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Why do we follow all the commands of government? By the way, let me put a stipulation on that. We follow all the commands of government as long as they don't make us disobey the commands of God. Can I be clear on that? Can I be any clearer on that? If God says do this, and the government says don't do this, then we do it. Amen. That's just the way it is. There is a higher power. There is the highest power, who is the source of all power. That's what he's saying here in Romans 13. He's put it all here. And he's still in control of it all. He's above all, even every ruler upon the earth. And we obey him first. Amen. Then after that, every single commandment the government gives us that we can obey without breaking the law, or without breaking God's law, we ought to obey. Amen? Submit yourself to every ordinance of man, Peter said. He says, why do we subject ourselves not only for wrath but for conscience sake? Well, remember, a government that doing what it's supposed to do is going to be punishing evil. So you obey government so you don't get punished. So you don't get that big $500 speeding fine. Yeah. So you don't get that death sentence for murdering someone. At least that's what the Bible would require. So you don't get that death sentence for murdering someone. Fear. Obey for wrath, fear of wrath. But then it says also for conscience sake. What's that mean? Conscience sake, because you remember God put the government there. So if their rule doesn't break God's command, that's just like God telling you. So now, if you're not only breaking the government's law, if they give you a law, and it's not contrary to the word of God, but you're breaking the law that God's representative has given you. And so your conscience is guilty, because you offended not only the rulers, but God. See that? And we honor that. And in these things, we need to grow, and we need to turn and change as a nation to see God's blessings upon us. Give me some hope, preacher. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Made it the memory verse for today. Here it is. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, troubles. God knows how to help those who are seeking him.
through troubles. I'd say we're in the midst of some troubles now, wouldn't you? Especially internally in our nation. You know, God says, I can take care of you through that, believer, if you'll trust me. God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Here it is. And to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment. What's it say? To be punished. That's what God does to evil. And that's what he ordained government to do. And it's what they should do. But when they don't, what's God reminding us? There's a judgment day coming. And Jesus Christ has been appointed the judge of the world. The Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son. The judgment, the judge at the great white throne judgment will be the Lord Jesus Christ. And every person who has rejected him, they've decided they'll roll their dice with God. I think my good works will be enough. God will accept me. God wouldn't send me to hell just because I didn't believe in him. I'll take a chance on that. My Bible says, after that great white throne judgment, and every name that was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And by the way, they were judged by their works because that's the way they wanted it. See, God gives us a choice. We can face judgment by our own goodness and see how well we measure up. By the way, let me just end that conversation right now. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We don't measure up to God's holiness, to his expectations. But in his love, he sent someone to do that for us. Yea, he came in his own self and became a man and did that for us. He kept the law perfectly, Jesus Christ did. He died for our sins and he rose again. And he offers eternal life to as many as who will turn to him for the forgiveness of their sins. And ask for the gift of eternal life, believing that he's a sinless Son of God. He died for our sins on a wicked, cruel cross. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. Amen. And all who believe in him, trust in him, are freely forgiven. And by the way, you'll also receive the power then to do these things we're talking about. But God knows how to keep us. That's hope, by the way. How would the lost world be in the last days? And those that turn away from Christ, they become harder. 2 Peter 2:10 says, them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, here it is, and despise government. See, there's something in the fallen man. By the way, that there is talking about authority. There's something in the fallen man that doesn't want to be told what to do. In our old nature, I want to be king. It's my life. I'll live it like I want to. And what happens? They become, Romans 1:30, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Here it is. Disobedient to parents. You know why a lot of people won't obey the laws of government, even the ones that are good? And even the ones that are according to the very laws of God. You know why they won't obey them? Because they wouldn't obey their parents either. And unfortunately, some parents did not punish them when they wouldn't obey their commands. You see that? And so that's how they grew up and learned. And now when the government gives them law and threatens that, well, when the government gives them the law, they don't obey it. Because many times, punishment isn't given. And that's the rut that our society is in right now. And we need to pray that God will help our leaders and give them wisdom. What can we do? What's the best that we can do as believers then? It's become godly, love others, love our neighbor as ourselves, spread the gospel so others can be saved. But what else do we have the blessed privilege to do in our country? It's vote, right? Vote. We get to vote, don't we? Well, I'll only vote for a Christian. Well, good luck with that. We haven't had too many of them in office, folks. I tell my wife and I, and you probably said this too, when we vote for the lesser of two evils. Because most of the time, if you look at the records of those that are running, they have supported things that God does not like and that God condemns. I can't think of a candidate that's run where I couldn't find something where they supported something God didn't like. Not a one. But what do? We got to weigh it out. Wow, this one. They did this stuff, but this one, you know, we have to weigh it out. I think what's important in God's scale, you know, human life. How many little innocent? By the way. Probably the only true innocent people, if that can be applied to them. Interesting discussion. Babies in the womb being killed, murdered. Children. Let's put it this way. There's no more innocence among humans than that. Amen. There's nothing more innocent among human beings than that. And we can't just sing God Bless America and hope it'll go away. Amen. The fact is, God's letting us swim in our own soup, isn't he? Hoping that we'll cry out to him. Hoping that you and I in the church will realize, yeah, they need Jesus. It's not whether it's a D, it's not whether it's an R. They need Jesus to change their lives. Amen. And we need to vote accordingly to God's word. And vote by that. Let the Holy Spirit direct us. And then maybe we'll have some hope and see some of God's mercies fall upon our land. And we certainly, certainly need it. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word this morning. And our hearts are burdened for the injustices done. Not just this past couple weeks to so many, Father, but it's a continual thing, God. And yet your mercies have been wonderful to us. Father, we do pray for these situations. We do want peace in our land. And Father, we are thankful for the right to protest and to point out to our government at times when we believe we see evils that ought not to be done. And we're able to vote and to have a part in voting. We vote legislators. We hope that we'll make laws that would be according to your word or closer to your word than another. And Father, I pray that you would help us to continue in that. Help our leaders and give them wisdom to know what to do. We understand that even if a person is not born again, you have said that godliness is profitable in all things, having the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. Sometimes when even a lost person obeys a heavenly rule, they get an earthly blessing. Your word says to work hard, and many times those who do, whether they're lost or saved, do well in their jobs. Godliness can give blessings to people that aren't even saved, at least temporal blessings. And so we pray for those mercies, God. We might see some of those if our laws would be more like your word and conform more to it, Father. And so we pray for that. Give our leaders wisdom and direction in what to do in these times. And there are Christians around our president, and I pray for his salvation. I pray for the salvation of Barack Obama and others who have been president, Father, still alive. And Father, help them and be with them. And Father, help us as a people to respect and to honor authority, to love your word, to love others, and to peaceably and wisely speak against evil when we see it, and vote accordingly that it may be prevented.
Help our government to do the things they need to do as outlined in your word, providing peace and safety first and foremost for the people, the authority needed to punish evil. And Father, give them the courage to make those laws. And Father, we pray for that in doing that, others would be deterred from the same things. There'd be people that saved from lives of crime, perhaps, and even turn to you if they see the punishment sometimes that comes from doing evil. Father, please help us in that. I thank you for this church. Thank you for your people. I thank you for this country. I thank you for especially those that are truly concerned about our country and want to glorify your name as well. Father, help us to be good citizens of heaven first, but also good citizens, Father, of here. We can't be unless we're really the Christians that we ought to be. Help us in that. Thank you for your mercies, Lord. We do pray for the families that have suffered so much from the injustices that have gone on this past couple weeks and in the past. And we pray that we might see some grace there, Father, and mercies, some laws changed that need to be changed, some laws enforced that need to be enforced. Father, in so doing, we'll be helped as a country and as a people. Father, we pray. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Charlie, would you come?